bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to be here to worship the Lord. If you'd like to look with us this morning, I'd like to look over in Acts. Acts the 20th chapter. Acts the 20th chapter, and I'd like to start with verse 18. Before we read the scripture, there's a little song that probably most of us know. It's going through my mind the other day, and I had to think, you know, we were talking about in the Sunday school class, what is the secret of being able to keep our children, keep our young people, keep our families together, our churches? And I think the secret is, Brother Lyle mentioned, is having his presence within us, truly, not just put on. But the song says, since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me. And mid earth's sorrows and its woe, 'tis heaven, my Jesus, here to know. And even like the title says, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. It says, oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven to know, my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And you can say this is like heaven begun, right here when he is with us, because we're going to him, and if he has come in and he abides within, then the second verse says, my heaven, once heaven seemed a far off place, till Jesus showed his smiling face. Now it's begun within my soul, 'twill last while endless ages roll. What matter where on earth we dwell, on mountain, too, or in the dell, in cottage or a mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. I was over in Marshfield one time going from door to door talking to different people, and I went to one door and there was an elderly man there, probably in his 80s, and he invited me in, and so I went in and sat down with him. And he told me, he said that he had just lost his wife. They'd been married for many years, but he had lost her, and he was feeling the loss of her. And I mentioned something about him being lonely. And then his face lit up, and he said, no. He said, my Lord is here, and I'm not lonely because he's with me. He's here. And I thought, what a testimony. That man no doubt felt the loss of his wife and very, very heavy upon him. And yet his communion and fellowship with the Lord was so that he was being kept by, like the song says, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Let's look in Acts, the 20th chapter. And you might say that this is sort of the end of Paul's journey and his writings of the end of his journey. We spoke this morning, we studied about Joshua and the end of his, sort of the end of his journey. And now Paul is writing not only for the church back there, but I believe that it's for the church today that we can be encouraged. In Acts 20, verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one, night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and have accompanied him, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we come to thee this morning, we thank thee for the privilege of gathering together in this way to worship thee. We pray, Lord, that our worship shall be in spirit and in truth and acceptable in thy sight, Lord, because of what Jesus has done for each one of us, because of the merits of the precious blood of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou will help each one of us, that we might allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to try the reins of our hearts. And Father, that by the grace of God, that each one of us might have a good testimony as we come down to the end of our lives and as this world comes to an end. We pray, dear Lord, that thou will help us to properly prepare and to look forward to the great day of the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Paul was a godly example. I believe, as we read there in the 19th verse, the 20th chapter of Acts, it says that he served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell him by the lying in wait of the Jews. But then he made a statement that not everyone can make when he said in verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he realized now that he says that he was going bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that should befall him, but he knew that it probably physically it was not going to be a pleasant situation, because he said that the Holy Spirit had already witnessed that bonds and afflictions abide with him. I'm thankful this morning that we can have that godly direction, and that we have those that have gone on before us and have been faithful to us, our parents and those that have been godly people. You go on trips, and as we went out to the minister's meeting and then went to my sister's house there in Chambersburg and back up to my wife's place in, it'd be Western Pennsylvania. You know, sometimes you realize that this may be the last time that you'll be seeing some of the folks there. My father-in-law mentioned to me, he said, well, he's, I think he said 84 years old. And he said, one of these times, you know, we may not be here. And when we came down to the end of the trip, got ready to leave, you know how that is when you pack everything up and then the last things are said. My mother-in-law was sitting there at the table, and she's gone through an awful lot, faced death a number of times, and she was sitting there. She's very quiet, but the tears started running, and she was mentioned. She said, I don't want her to leave. I was talking about Ann. I don't want her to leave. And she began to weep. And I don't want her to leave, she said. And she said, it's too far away. It's too far away. It is a long ways. They would usually come out 1 year, and then we would try to go out the next year. And we're thankful for godly parents. We're thankful for those who have looked over us when we were little and been faithful to us. And sometimes they give us the woodshed treatment when we needed it, and probably sometimes we didn't get it when we should have had it. They were faithful to us. And when you go on a trip like this, it's almost like weddings or funerals. You know, you can see the progression in people of drawing closer to God or going further away from God. And I've often wondered, what did they see in me? You know, it's not just me looking at them and saying, well, he's been true to the Lord. He's got a faithful testimony. I believe he's still a godly man, a young man there with a minister in one of the churches where my sister attends. I went to Bible school with him, and I remember him just a couple years younger than me. And he's the minister there now. And as he preached, it seemed from the very depths of his heart. It seemed like that he had a message from God, and it was something that touched our hearts. And I was thankful that I could say that here's someone that has been faithful. Here's someone that has kept the faith. He's fought a good fight. His course is not finished yet, like Paul said. But he has, no doubt, we don't know how long he has to go. But then there were others in the same church that I'd gone to Bible school with and talked to them. One of the young men was telling me that he'd been over to Africa, and I guess there'd been revival meetings there, and he'd been preaching there in the revival meetings here. There again, he was a young man when I was going to Bible school, a couple years younger than me. But it was nice to see that he and his wife had kept the faith, and they were still being true to the Lord. But, you know, it's not all that way. Because you ask, well, where is so-and-so? Where is this one? Well, somebody would bow their head and say, and they would tell the story, and it was a sad story. And it usually didn't end its sadness right there, but not only with them, but a lot of times it was with their family and the condition in the family and the children. A sad story. But life is full of crossroads. Life is full of wise choices, decisions that each one of us make. And I believe Paul had come to a number of those places, but he had kept the faith. He had not swerved to the left nor to the right. He had not been a man pleaser, but he had sought by the grace of God to please God and to be true to the ones that he was speaking to. Many times it'd be easier just to tickle people's ears and make them laugh and do something that make people feel pleasant. But sometimes we've got to get down to the, if there's a problem, you've got to get below the surface. You know, you can sort of smooth things all over. And yet, if there's a festering, ugly sore down there, that thing can set in until, if it's not taken care of, before long gangrene sets in. And then a hand is lost. And finally, it can even bring death. Paul faced a lot of things. And even though he knew that bonds and afflictions were ahead for him, he said, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Sometimes we can get, what would you say, looking at things and not paying attention to where we're going, and that can be disastrous. One day, my sister and brother-in-law decided they were going to take us out to eat at a certain place. And so we were enjoying the beautiful country and beautiful hills of Pennsylvania. And they were telling us all about the different places and showing us some special places. They said right over in there, as we drove along the road, there is Camp David, is where the presidential retreat is. And you couldn't get close to it at all. In fact, back through the trees, you could see the little guard towers all around as you drive along. And they told different experiences of how that one man had been a caretaker and mowing, and a rock went flying under the security wire and set off an alarm. And in a moment, he was surrounded by armed men. If he hadn't have had the pass that he needed, he'd have been in serious trouble. And then my nephew went in the wrong gate, and he was surrounded quickly by armed men. They pointed out another hill over there, back over in the mountain, and they said, you know, there's not just a Pentagon. You know what it is, and you know what happened back when 9/11 took place and the plane was crashed into it. But down under those hills, there's an underground Pentagon. And it's huge. And the U.S. military is all down in there, and they're protected by tons and tons of earth above them, clear down under these mountains. And we drove along, and those different things they pointed out to us, and then pulled into the place, and we had a nice meal. And as we pulled in, my wife mentioned to me, she said, "Aren't those beautiful flowers?" They had flowers all along in front of this restaurant, and all along the retaining wall, flowers, just all kinds of flowers. And so when we got done eating, I thought, well, I'm going to try to take some pictures of those. And I have a little phone. That's the only camera that I really use. I've got one that's ancient in the car, but I keep it with me, and so I can grab it out and flash it. And so I thought, well, I'm going to take some pictures of some of those flowers for her. And they were just beautiful, coming down over the wall and all different kinds of beautiful colors and just all over. And I was snapping pictures and taking pictures of flowers. And there was nothing wrong with taking pictures of flowers, nothing wrong with that type of thing. But I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. And as I was snapping pictures of flowers, there were cars parked along there, and I don't know what you even call those concrete things that the cars pull in against, but it's to stop them. And I stepped around a car and flashing pictures of flowers, and unbeknownst to me, one of those concrete things was sticking out from the car, and you can guess the rest of the story. Anyway, I tripped over that and very undecorously flopped on the ground and banged my poor knees up. And I wasn't really worried about that. I was looking around to see if anybody saw me. And behind me were the windows of the restaurant. But I got up, straightened up, pretended like my knees weren't hurting, and started taking more pictures. But you know, in life, we can do things that are good, things that are admirable, things that are no problem at all. But does it pay? Does it count for us paying attention what we're doing, taking heed of our life? I think we need to be watching carefully in the spiritual realm that something doesn't trip us up spiritually and cause us to go sprawling spiritually, which is much more detrimental to us than if we just do it physically. Since that time and during the whole trip, I had my special chickweed salve, and I applied it liberally on all my scars because I didn't pay attention. And there for a while, they looked red and inflamed, and the thoughts run through my mind. I had sugar diabetes. You know, I could lose my leg if those stripes would start going up and down my leg, and they get blood poisoning, all kinds of things, because I didn't pay attention. I didn't pay attention. Well, he said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and those of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. But he says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Listen, it's not probably the big things that's going to cause us to fall, but a lot of times it's just those little things that we didn't pay attention to, those little things that we didn't take heed of. May the Lord help us today that by His grace we can fight a good fight, we can finish our course with victory, and that we can pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead us and guide us. Let's kneel in prayer.